Welcome back to Twice Upon a Time. This time, Roger and I watch season 4, episodes 22 and 23, Operation Mongoose, parts 1 and 2. As always, we'll start off with a synopsis. It's two episodes and this is season finale, so sorry, y'all. Roger's gonna time me. I think it'll be under 90 seconds. In Storybrooke, the heroes race to find the author and stop him from writing Heroes and Villains. They pull the apprentice from the hat, but it's too late. Henry is left alone in Storybrooke. He finds Isaac, and now a best-selling author, and goes into the book. In the book, the heroes are the villains and the villains are the heroes. Henry tries to convince Regina, now abandoned on the run from e the evil Queen Snow, that she must find her true love, Robin, who is set to marry Zelina, to break them all out of the story. When she refuses to help, Henry goes after Emma with the help of a cowardly Hook. Hook dies to save them from evil Queen Snow, who lost her true love James because Regina couldn't keep a secret, and now uses Charming's heart to trap him as a replacement. Regina, who has since met Robin, decides to help them and tell Robin how she feels. Before she can break up the wedding, Rumple, the light one, shows up to stop the threat to his and the realm's happiness that Isaac told him about, which is Henry. Regina sacrifices herself to save Henry, and Henry, the new author, uses blood of the savior, Regina, to write them back home. When they return to Storybrooke, Rumple's heart is almost gone. The apprentice attempts to contain the darkness in the hat, but the hat can't hold it. The apprentice tells them that the sorcerer, Merlin, put the darkness into a person, the Dark One, to contain it, and now they must find the sorcerer to destroy the darkness. When the darkness surrounds Regina, Emma becomes the Dark One to save her. How long, Roger?
Your time was. We started at 20 seconds, you finished about 2 minutes. 1 minute, 40 seconds.
Okay, I was pretty close.
That's
I was pretty close. I
pretty good.
ad-libbed a couple things that I
Yeah.
didn't write down.
That was a good synopsis. That might be a top five synopsis.
Oh,
Check it out.
thanks. I don't know that it was a top five synopsis, but it was a certainly a succinct synopsis.
Well, but I think you had to clarify a lot of things here without going off the rails because the things that we know just aren't true anymore.
It's
So,
true.
yeah.
It's true. What do you think of this episode, Roger?
Fun, but ultimately a bit disappointing. I think it was a nice alternate reality story that was kind of like taking us out of the world that we built. I have some qualms with it, certainly. And there were some really fun moments. I think it's kind of a microcosm of the season. Fun, but ultimately disappointing.
Yeah, I also like this episode or episodes. I like this finale.
Two-parter.
I agree that it's a little disappointing, and I have like there's like a lot of missed opportunities, and also like I have a fundamental qualm with the like premise, or not the premise, but the way that the premise is executed, which we can get to later.
The premise of the story.
The premise of the heroes and villains thing, I like something about it. Well, it doesn't, especially Isaac's role in it is like really hard for me. We can talk about that more. Yeah, there's some really good tidbits in here that I like a lot. I liked a lot of the scenes. But yeah, I agree. I feel like there was a lot more here and we kind of like raced through it.
It felt like something that could have been a half season that we
Yeah.
compacted into two tight episodes. And they're not bad episodes, but it's like we had to skip a lot of things that would have been kind of cool to see.
Well, even like when Henry decides to go in the book, he like flips to the end of the book, and I'm like, so we're just at the end of the book? Like, why we don't get to know any of the other stuff?
I mean, we kind of know it because we know the original story, but him going to the start of the book would have been way cooler.
Yeah.
I want to dive in more about Isaac's role in this. What is it that you don't care for?
Okay. So here's the
Yeah, please.
thing. I don't understand, like, I don't understand what it is that he wrote exactly. Like, I want to read the book Heroes and Villains that he wrote that became a best-selling New York Times bestseller. Because to me, it sounds like he didn't actually write the like give the villains a happy ending, like show us that they have like they're the victims and that they like they should get happy endings and then they get them. He just reversed the heroes and the villains, which sounds like the same fucking story. He didn't actually do anything.
Well, in my opinion, he did what he did is he actually trapped them in a curse and he put everyone with a happy unhappy ending.
Even Rumple?
He was still a coward.
Yeah.
Like if you actually kind of think about all of the characters that we interact with, none of them really were happy. And that's what made the story fascinating, is that they were all miserable. That's what society
looked like. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fair. But, like, the book, the best-selling book that all of these people in the real world love, like, what the fuck does it say? It's, like, not actually a book. Like, it's just, like, I wrote the same book, and that's it.
Well, no, because in, like, we all know the classic stories. It would be fascinating to read a book. Like, this is why Game of Thrones was possible, or, like, so fucking popular. Everybody ended up being miserable in that goddamn show. You either die, or who you love dies, or you get poisoned. That's what people fucking love reading. They want to see things where everybody's miserable all the damn time. As you said, love is boring. This is basically that version of that within Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, like, and Zelina's happy ending? That's not a happy ending for Zelina.
Correct.
But they don't, like, dive into that at all.
They don't dive into it, but it's inferred.
Because, and I don't even know that Isaac thinks that.
I do think he thinks that. I think he gets his happy ending.
And nobody else did.
Because that's why Snow says, that's what villains do. They get their own happy ending at the expense of everyone else.
Hmm.
And that's what made him so rich and powerful, was basically screwing over everyone.
Okay, well, could we have spent a little more time with that?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. But to me, that's how I interpret that. Because I started thinking, it's like, holy shit, Rumpel's still a coward. Regina doesn't believe in true love. Robin's marrying a woman he doesn't really love. Zelina's marrying a man who doesn't really love her. Snow White doesn't get to marry the man she loved because he's dead. Charming is literally trapped by Snow. Who the fuck is happy? Hook's a coward. Look, everyone's unhappy. Which, for Isaac, is perfect.
I guess.
And it's kind of interesting. I mean, like, let's say this is like, even if it's not a half season, give me 4 episodes of this.
Oh, sure.
We get to dive in a little bit further. It could have been really good.
Well, yeah, I feel like we didn't get nearly enough Rumpel in the Heroes and Villains.
Actually, I kind of think we did.
I mean, his story is boring, so there's that, but, like, I don't know.
I think we got the interesting part of his story, which is, despite the fact that you asked for a happy ending, you are such a coward that even in your happy ending, you can't avoid being a coward.
Yeah.
That is who you fundamentally are. The one thing I will think that sucks is that Belle is no different than who Belle is. She is boring even in the alternate.
Oh, I thought Belle was even more boring in the alternate.
She's the same.
No, she's not the same.
What's different?
All she does is, like, get water and pour tea and take care of her baby.
In real life, most of the
time. She likes to read, and she's, like, interested in the sports world. Yes.
Okay, but that's not interesting for, like, a fairy tale character.
I mean, that's, like, one of Belle's characteristics in the fairy tale that people think is interesting.
Belle is boring! Most people think Belle is a toxic and two-dimensional shallow character who falls in love with her captor. I don't know that she's a good character.
I think that people think she's toxic.
Oh, she's part of her falling in love with her captor is the toxic part. She herself is not toxic. Also, I don't know that we don't know, like, how do we know that she doesn't like to read in this alternate version? We don't get a lot of depth with her.
I know, we don't get a lot of depth with anyone, really.
But we don't get a lot of depth with Belle in Storybrooke, if we're being honest. She's in, what, 2 episodes for the most part?
Yeah, she didn't have a lot going on here.
But yeah, so, like, we didn't really flip her. We didn't really flip Robin. Like, evil Robin would have been fun to see.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't really... He's the same.
He's charming. Like, he's literally charming with Abigail.
Yeah.
So, and I get it. They were inverting that story. But a decent amount... Like, Hook really isn't all that different. Like, he's just... He's cursed with Rumpel's cowardice.
Yeah.
But he isn't, like... Like, I would have loved to have seen Hook as Killian Jones, the sailor, like we saw kind of in the flashback. Mm-hmm. Like, the scene he's like, I would never touch this stuff. This is goat's milk. That was awesome. Like, that's... Fucking hilarious.
He's allergic to rum.
Captain Hook not being able to drink, funny. Captain Hook being a coward is kind of like, oh, you're just weak. But, like, this is not, like, a true inversion of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We see Blackbeard for a second. He's the same. Like, he looks to be the exact same character.
He even gets knocked out the
same. We don't even get to see James. Like, let that be James who's alive. I don't need to see Charming in this alternate story.
I mean, I think if we're going with your idea,
yeah.
If it's James, like, it's not a punishment.
But Charming could have been the one who died.
Yeah.
Still been a punishment.
Yes.
And, like, she was in... So you could have had just basically, like, what Regina was, where Snow was a good person, was in love with Charming, but his death set her on the path to being a monster, and now she's stuck with James, who's also a monster. We don't... Like, you know what would have been fun? Good Gora.
Yeah, that would be nuts. Cool. I don't even know what that is.
Loving, supportive, who gets murdered by Snow White. Like, you know, we could have really had some fun with these characters. And we, like, touch on it on a very surface level.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. I like dark dwarves, too. I'm into dark dwarves.
I liked dark dwarves, though Grumpy doesn't seem all that different. He and Leroy and Dark Leroy. It's just like, they're kind of both in the middle anyway. They're always pissed off. They always want to fight. So I'm like, all right, like everybody, and then like really nobody else did anything. Like Granny, right? Like,
yeah, Granny didn't do anything.
Granny's already kind of a badass. I mean, like, she just, you know.
And we like get a mention of like the fairies being dark, but like we don't get to see that.
I think the fairies are good.
No, he said that they use like dark fairy. Oh, I guess if they're fighting against Evil Queen Snow, but they use dark fairy dust.
Sure, but they set a trap that stopped the dark dwarves from.
Maybe they're just like evil little fleas, like Rumpel describes them.
You think in this world, Blue's competent?
Maybe she is. She does do something in this episode.
I'd like to point something out. This adds to my theory. In this world, Blue is effective and fighting the evil, which implies that in the real world, Blue is evil and fighting the good. I'm just saying, Dark Blue makes sense.
Was Blue getting the Rumpel out of, getting the apprentice out of the hat? An evil act? Are we going to learn something?
That's an excellent question.
I don't know.
Maybe that's a burning question. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we start with our Land Without Magic flashback to Isaac?
I love the date they pick.
Yes, me too. It was a nice little subtle Walt Disney nod. Walt Disney was the author, and then he died. And they needed a replacement. And for some reason, Isaac was the replacement.
I mean, if you listen to the story he tells when he's trying to sell that TV, he rambles on like a storyteller. So it kind of makes some sense.
But there's a lot of inconsistencies about, like, this is the most important job. And, like, the author is a hero. Like, I don't know. I'm like, is it? Like, or is the author just a person that records things that's happening? Does the author have to be a hero so he doesn't use the pen for evil? Like, is that what it is? Like, because the author doesn't really do anything except record, which is apparently a very important job.
I mean, I don't know the significance of how important it is to properly record, but one could argue that, like, he could be a hero by just, like, guarding a, you know, a tower, right? Like,
that's true.
So, like, just doing a task can be heroic. And I think really what we're supposed to take away from it at the end is that resisting the temptation to change things is what is heroic.
Yeah.
And obviously he succumbed to the power.
I also really liked, there's a little like lost Easter egg here. We haven't had one of those in a while. The test that the apprentice gives the author with the pens is very similar to a test that Richard gives to Locke in Lost.
So I never watched Lost, but what I've been told is that Lost built up a bunch of really fun questions, and then the answers sucked balls.
Yeah, I think that's not true for all of the questions. And some of the questions they just don't answer at all. Why can't women have babies on the island? We don't ever get to know.
Have sex.
We don't know. They can have sex.
Well, then I don't understand. but that, and this is the same writers, it feels like all of the problems they struggle with in Lost, they struggle with kind of in this episode and larger point kind of this season, where it's like you asked a bunch of really fantastic questions and then the answers were like, really?
Yeah,
that's my answer. Or you didn't answer the question, so we have to kind of like speculate, like we were talking about with Isaac, like, is his happy ending making everyone miserable? Like, I kind of know that Cruella's happy ending is murdering everyone. That's made very clear without explicitly saying it. I'm guessing based on what I've read and able to infer, but I don't know that.
Well, yeah, and he does say, like, his little thing about, you know, it was a lifetime of bad bosses. Like, he was so tired of being, like, put upon by people who think themselves heroes. And I'm like, are we meant to think that, like, his shitty boss in the TV store was a hero?
No, though, I actually think his point was relatively valid in that, like, it must be tiresome to be basically preached to by those who are just preordained to be heroes.
Sure.
Especially people like the Charmings, who, as because we have ruined, like, you know, I used to say Charming always makes the right choice. Well, that was true. I don't know if I really want to hear you tell me about how you always make the goddamn right choice when you made one of the worst choices I've ever seen in my life. And you know, his point was that, like, you always win no matter what. Like, it doesn't seem fair. I even said that in, like, the first episode this season. Rumpel loses because of happenstance. The good guys win because of luck. Anna gets saved by a wish. I mean, sort of, right? It's all these, like, dumb just occurrences. So if the author's point is that, like, you didn't deserve this victory, and people like you always get it, I'm sick of that. like his boss. His boss was probably born into that, right? Like it's like being annoyed with like a trust fund kid. Mm-hmm. You didn't earn this. You woke up on third base. Don't act like you being rich is some sort of like, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Bitch, you were born in a damn on a silver spoon. Fuck off.
I'm not sure the manager of the TV store was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but...
But he may have inherited that from daddy. Like, she probably didn't build that herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, actually, the example in that is that, like, he has a connection with that guy simply because they both served. He didn't do anything that mm-hmm. specifically should have given him that. It was just something that he happened to kind of get lucky in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but also Isaac is very self-important.
He is. Hey, how do you test drive a clicker?
You press it. You press the buttons.
Like, when you came over and said that, I was like, what? What do you take that for a test drive? Is he going to take the TV home?
Yeah, I know. That's what I initially thought he was saying. Like, take the TV home and see if you like it. But I was like, gosh.
I mean, that was just so weird. The phrasing on that. And maybe this is the 60s, so maybe that was a thing you did.
Maybe. Oh. I don't know. Aren't you so glad that now our actual TVs are bigger? Because I feel like that whole thing was so big, but the TV was so small.
You know, it's funny. I think about, like, the computer screen that I'm looking at is roughly the same size as the TV that I grew up with. When I was a kid, it never bothered me. I loved my little 13-inch television. Played Mega Man with pixels this big. I could not even fathom doing that nowadays. Like, I can't see it. But if you don't know, you don't know.
That's true.
You know, like, you remember standard definition. It was fine. And then once you saw HD, you're like, oh my god! This is so ugly!
I know, I rewatched Battlestar Galactica on DVD recently. And I was like, this is in full screen. And it's just, it's not even like the CGI is bad necessarily. It's just like the quality of the picture is terrible.
The worst is when you watch television shows that were in between both, like Friends. Uh-huh. So if you watch early Friends, it's standard definition, it's very grainy, and then at some point they make the switch to HD, you're like, oh, I can see everything now. Like, this is bad. Like, it's just jarring when you compare the two.
It's true.
Yeah. All right, we've gone off the...
We went off book here.
Yeah.
I have so many notes, I, like, just don't even...
So I don't make as many notes as you do, and I have 2 pages worth of notes. There was a lot to talk about. Let's finish with The Land Without Magic. I think that's a good start.
Oh, 4 pages of notes.
About that?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh my god!
No.
What would happen if Isaac picked the wrong pen?
He wouldn't have been the author.
They just would have kept looking for another one?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a silly test. I guess the idea is that it calls out to you, so you will mm-hmm. choose it. Sorry. He's a TV salesman who was, like, given permission to, like, write manuscripts in the break. Like, what?
I mean, you can do whatever you want on your break, but I did think it was really weird that he receives mail about his manuscripts at work.
It seemed like he was, like, a part of his, like, understood part of his job, because the boss, like, I get it if he was, like, doing it on the side, and the boss, like, I told you to stop doing this, but it was like, well, I knew you wanted to be a writer, that's why I hired you to be a TV salesman?
Because you got to tell people a story to sell to them. Also would have made more sense if he was, like, the advertisement writer or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Or if this was just, he's just stuck in a dead-end job and dreams for far more.
Yeah.
But instead, they went a little too much on this.
Agreed.
Is Star publishing some sort of Disney reference I don't get?
I don't know. Like, When You Wish Upon a Star is the only thing that I could, like, think of. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, later on we're running to, like, Hyperion Heights, which is a thing. I know Storybrooke obviously is a thing, but, like, I've never heard. Yeah, I saw something at Disneyland that seemed to imply
Storybook canal boats?
Maybe. Yeah. No, I think I saw something Storybrooke. I mean, you're the Disney expert over I, but I swear I thought I saw something.
No.
Okay. But, yeah, it was, and then he can see the door, which implies that he believes in magic.
Uh-huh.
So if you just couldn't see it, but, oops, sorry, you're not qualified.
Yeah, you can't see it. Well, and apparently the apprentice has no trouble realm jumping.
We've known that, right?
Yeah. But he's here again. He did it again.
So remember, the only way you can get between realms
is a
magic beam or hat or be the apprentice.
Yeah, the apprentice can just draw a portal with his finger.
So he had the ability to step in and stop all of Rumple's machinations by just...
I'm just pushing him through the door. Hey. Which is exactly what he wanted anyway. We're like, oh, bro, do you want to go through this door?
Here.
Do you want that?
Here's Bellfire. Blows my mind.
Does that count as a magic bean? I feel like it counts as the spirit of a magic bean.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a disgusting loophole of a magic bean, mm-hmm. but it is essentially the same premise. It's a portal mm-hmm. creation. Ugh, I don't like that, though. Feels dirty.
It does feel dirty.
Okay, I'm good. I thought the Isaac backstory was nice and short and to the point and
yeah.
got me where I needed to go. Good. I'm done with that.
Okay. Storybook
part one.
Part one.
I sort by people. What do you sort by again?
I sort by people, but chronologically, usually.
I mean, I think I just naturally sort by because, like, your notes are going to go chronologically.
Yeah, so the first people we have are the heroes and the apprentice.
I have that titled The Idiots.
Okay.
Because they're looking in the library.
They're in the library in the apprentice's mansion.
We really got to stop wasting CGI on that. Just go in a damn big library. They exist. I know. I've seen them.
Yeah, they totally do.
Two-story libraries have to be real things.
They're real.
Yep. Just go in one.
And they're trying to figure out, I'm not even sure what they're trying to figure out.
They are trying to find what the author is writing currently.
Oh, because they assume that it would be appearing in some of these books. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
And then August says that they need to find the apprentice. And then he has a picture that he drew.
Of the apprentice.
The apprentice, which Hook recognizes because he trapped him in there.
Yeah.
I don't love that we did this thing where, like, the apprentice and the Hook kind of stare at each other when he frees him and, like, Hook is supposed to feel guilty. Like, we all know this is not the thing that he was under control for. Like,
I know! Emma also says, it's okay, it was gold, not you.
Which is true.
I mean, well, I don't think that gold had his heart when they put the apprentice in the hat.
He has something on. He did back.
He did. It's because Hook blackmails him and then no. Rumple reverse blackmails
I know.
Him.
I'm just saying at that point he was under Rumple's yeah. thumb.
I mean, it was Rumple's idea. It's not like Hook was just like, I'm going to take this hat and just like be putting people in it. But
it was gold. I think what Hook should have felt bad for was that he was the impetus that caused all of this. He shouldn't feel bad for like the individual actions. That's Rumple.
Also, we made this huge deal about getting the fairies out of the hat. Did nobody think, like, apparently it was easy. Like, Blue just, like, did it. Why did no one try to get the apprentice out of the hat before?
No one else knew.
Hook didn't say anything?
No. Because he's ashamed of it. He'd say shit.
They told him he put the fairies in the hat.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, I don't think he knew the significance of that man, either.
He just thought he was some dude.
I mean...
He is kind of a nondescript-looking dude.
Hook is also not the greatest person. Like, I know he's on the heroic side, but he often will make selfish choices where he doesn't want to look bad.
That's true. And then we jump to Isaac and Rumple.
I thought that was interesting that Rumple asked, why are you helping me? Which, because I had the same question, like, well, yeah, why is he helping me?
Well, yeah, especially because, not that long ago, the author was like, you're the biggest pain in the ass that I've ever had the displeasure to write.
Yeah. But I do appreciate that, like, typically Rumple forces people to help him.
Yeah.
It's one of the rare times where someone just actually said, I'm going... Because the author could have said, I just disappeared and I write my own happy ending. He actually did. Now, this is also why I say he helped Rumple.
Right.
I think that's the point, is that, like, Rumple really thought he was getting what he wanted, and there was, like, a little caveat with that, you know. He put Rumple in a loophole, and normally Rumple is the one who has a loophole.
There's also... I was having a hard time swallowing that Rumple would be okay with something that's not real. Like, I don't necessarily... Like, it doesn't surprise me that he would ask the author for help, and I could totally see he'd be like, yo, can you just write, like, Rumple's heart is not fucked up? but, like, I don't...
He can't do that, though. it didn't create that. That is an interesting thing that we said.
Yeah.
It can only change, because otherwise Neil would have come back. So you've always said he didn't want Neil back. I think this confirms he did.
He
just knew it couldn't happen.
It just couldn't be. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't really buy that Rumpel would want to live in this, like, fake happiness.
I typically would agree with you, but I think the situation has changed.
Mm.
When you are on death's doorstep, which he is, you've lost the woman that you love, you've lost your son, and you have basically nothing else, why not take a fantasy over nothingness?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. He's going to die.
He's a desperate soul who's about to be either condemned to eternal hell, or whatever the hell happens when the Dark One expires, or he can live in a fairy tale.
And he asks Isaac if he wants to live in the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah.
And Isaac is like, do you think I like dysentery and a 40-year life expectancy?
That's how I feel about camping.
You don't die younger when you go camping.
False. One thing that, while I think it was interesting, was unfortunate. He says that, like, I can't create Neil because he died outside of here. In the story, you should be able to create Neil. I get in the real world, you can't bring him back.
Uh-huh.
But this is a completely fictional universe.
No, that's fair.
It would have been actually quite nice to see Henry and Neil meet in this universe.
Mm.
And then Neil ultimately does make a sacrifice and says, I will die because I am only part of this universe, but it's the right move. Now we actually get a real sacrifice for Neil. And it would have been fun to see Henry and Neil and Rumpel and Neil and all those people.
Well, and theoretically, even if he can't, like, bring back Neil, he should be able to write some sort of, like, approximation of Neil.
Yeah.
And it would also be interesting to watch them sort of be like, oh, this isn't, like, you're just not quite... Right.
You can't get it right
again. Yeah.
Or, like, even seeing Neil be, like, he tries to get a Neil, but it's not the Neil that we know.
Mm-hmm.
So this Neil maybe does embrace magic. Maybe he's not particularly good heart. You know, like, you could have had an inversion of Neil.
Speaking of Neil.
Yeah.
What the fuck happens to baby Neil during this?
Who?
The baby.
Who? There's a baby? I don't call it baby.
We see his crib when Henry is in the loft.
Yeah.
And I assume Henry wasn't part of this, like, either because that's his curse, that he's, like, separated from his family, or because for some reason Isaac couldn't, because Henry was born in the real world, he, like, couldn't.
That's why.
Okay, so baby Neil was also born in the real world. So did Henry just, like, leave baby Neil in that apartment?
It's also possible baby Neil was written out of the story.
So he was just written to not exist.
Yeah. Remember, because you could do that with Zelina and the baby. Uh-huh. Wrote baby. Well, and actually, from Isaac's perspective, baby Neil is a victory for the Charming, so he would just undo that and be like, you never had a baby.
Yeah, that's a good... Is Zelina pregnant? Because Zelina is pregnant in real life. Does he write that out, or is she just still pregnant?
Oh. Interesting.
Is that why they're getting married?
Yep, shot your wedding name.
I also had this, like, missed opportunity idea. Like, could you imagine coming across Storybrooke, a perfectly functional town that's like, there's just nobody here? Like, somebody shows up and is like, the fuck? And then they go into Rumpel's shop and they're like, what's Toad's breath?
So, I'm gonna reveal myself as an uber nerd. I watched a lot of Power Rangers as a kid. And there's an episode where, like, all of the residents of whatever town, I think it's Angel Grove, disappear. Like, they're taken away somewhere. And the Green Ranger, who had been gone for a long time, shows up.
Uh-huh.
And it ends with, where's everybody at? I feel like you could have had, like, a character we haven't seen in a while. Like, Ariel would have been perfect for this. So, what happened?
Like, for a swim!
Is this the wrong place? And then she's just, like, kind of screwing around in the town. So, like, it could have been real funny. Like, so... What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Henry, let's talk about Henry.
So sure.
He wakes up with a key in his hand. Is that similar to how, like, much like the book appeared to him when he needed it most? The key simply appeared to him as he needed it most? Or did he have the key in his hand when he was dropped unconscious?
He probably did have the key. I don't know if it would have been in his hand, though.
Because you see the shot of it holding in his hand.
Right. Yeah, I know. I just mean, I don't know why he would have been holding it at that moment.
Yeah.
Because he used the keys, like, well, no, they gave the key to Emma to open the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the key did appear to Henry, so maybe it appeared to him. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I like that he's like, well, gotta take mom's car. He did learn how to drive thanks to Charming, so that was a nice little touch point.
He's only sort of good at driving.
What's funny, too, is that, you know, they when he runs into the cafe, I'm like, Henry does look old enough to drive. He could be a teenager. Like, he's tall.
Yeah, he looks, like, young.
A young driver.
But if you told me he was 16, I'd be like, okay.
Like, first season Henry, I'm like, kid, you are not old enough to drive.
Although, concerning, certainly, person that maybe looks too young to drive, and then he's showing you pictures of a bunch of people asking you if you've seen them.
But I wouldn't think runaway, because, like, where's my family is, like, the opposite.
Yeah, that is an interesting, I don't know what I would think
like,
of
I
that.
I think he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Not he ran away, because no one runs away from the family they're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then he's perceptive, he's like, well, time to get the hell out of here. But then, he drives his ass to New York.
Yep. Or was it New York or Boston?
I thought that was Broadway. Like, when they were showing the marquee of the author signing in the books. I assumed that was something in New York. It isn't explicitly told, but it looked like a big, big city.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't Broadway.
I know Boston is a big city, too.
Boston is sort of a big city.
New York feels like the bright lights. You know, like the thing that they were going for there.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
Especially when you don't really drive.
Uh-huh. And driving in New York City?
When, like, gas?
Yeah.
Money?
He has money.
From what?
I'm sure Regina gives him money.
Sure.
Just burping for everyone here.
This episode brought to you by gas. I did say gas. But, like, okay, she probably does give him money, but, like, gas money? Because that's a long drive.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I mean, maybe he caught a bus. I don't know.
Maybe he just took some money from his infinite stash.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
I love how he shows up and uses the, like, the page. Like, he's just, like, straight up threatening Isaac. I'm going to put you in this.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because he even, like, holds it. He's like, fuck with me. Fuck around and find out. He's, like, holding it. And then he's like, whoa, calm down, cowboy. Like,
Isaac is so smarmy. Like,
I love him.
He like wanted to be this famous person so that he could like be an asshole to his fans. Yeah. I don't.
Well, that's you actually see a shot where he is a bit tired of the fame.
Yeah.
So it does make sense. Like when I love Regina, tell me how it ends. And he's like, wait till the next book is written. Like you can tell that it's almost like Cruella's,
Ennui. Yeah.
I feel like that. I feel like Isaac and Cruella at some level had similar tendencies, even if like Isaac's not homicidal the way she is, but they both have that kind of level of disgust with like, enough with this. I have more important things to do. His is storytelling, hers is murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he tackles, so we don't really see Henry in physical confrontations often. He straight tackles Isaac. He's also bigger than Isaac, which is kind of funny.
Isaac is very small.
But then he decides, I'm going in the book.
Yeah, that was, I don't even know how he thought of that.
You are definitely the grandson of Prince. That was insane. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, Henry. That was like poisoning yourself at the end of season one levels of insane.
It worked, kind of. I don't know why he went to the end. I don't know why he chose pictures of cottages with thatched roofs. Also, what a boring book. Why is that what the picture is?
No, I thought that was fine. It set the scene for like where these people live and why the Golden Knight have to come and save them. It made sense. It's a fair tale, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I feel like in a more exciting picture would be the ogre. the ogre fight.
Not every picture needs to be super exciting. Sometimes you just have to set scenery and background.
Yeah.
This is a graphic novel, right? I mean, this one assumes.
I guess.
Based on kind of the paperback, and I would assume it's a graphic novel.
Oh, I did not. I did not assume it was a graphic novel. But it wasn't. It wasn't his paperback. It was the. It was the actual book, the storybook.
Yeah, that's fair. No. I just assume it was scenery setting. And also, someone like Isaac, who does give way too much detail every time he talks, is absolutely the type of person to, like, draw all excessive detail. This guy kind of fits who he is.
How did Isaac get in the book?
It sucked him in.
Okay.
Because he said, good job, you've trapped us both in.
Okay.
Because you see it reach out and grab Henry, and I'm sure he just couldn't get away. Or maybe he jumped in, like, I don't want you fucking this up.
Uh-huh.
So.
Then he, like, fucks it up himself. He wrote the goddamn story, he says to Henry, I wrote this story, and then he, like, forgets that the ogre slayer comes to kill the ogre.
I kind of like it, though, because it was like, we always see, like, the villain who's, you know, the Cruella who's a couple steps ahead, or the Rumpel who's a couple steps ahead. It's kind of nice to have a villain who's like, ah, fuck, like, I'm actually not 8 steps ahead. So, like, I just wanted to kill you, and I forgot that there's another thing that I wrote. So, like, it was kind of nice to see, like, I also love the, please be dead, please be dead, please be dead. He seems so much more powerless than, like, our typical villain, but not in, like, a... He's just, he's crafty. I like that he is a crafty villain, smarmy, as opposed to just like, I'm the Dark One, or I'm, what's her fucking name, who was uber powerful, choking out Regina and Emma at the same time.
The Snow Queen?
Yeah, or Zelina, who's just beating the piss out of, right? Like, we've had too many villains who are just uber strong.
I also, so we learn about Isaac that he can't write anymore. Like, the pen has betrayed him. It's like the pen has
a... He betrayed the pen, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting that, Destiny actually does the same thing too. There's like a dragon that if you grant your own wish, you die.
Mm-hmm.
They can grant wishes of others, but if you grant your own wish, it's the final wish you can grant. And then basically, if you wrote your own happy ending, you now lose the power of the author, mm-hmm. which I thought was a nice twist. Like, okay, because I always wondered, like, well, why wouldn't you just abuse it for your own riches and do whatever you want? It's like, oh, you can't.
Yeah.
You can make other people happy, but you can't. And that's almost like the author's curse. You can make everyone else happy but your own.
Mm-hmm. And then Rumpel. The Ogre Slayer / the Light One shows up.
/ the Golden Knight.
I love that he still kind of talks like Rumpelstiltskin, yeah. but it's like the opposite. Like, he still has a flair and he's like all bold.
He's the Light One, right? Like,
yeah.
He's still got that kind of like funny, like, you should run home supper, dearie. It's almost like, I've said before, and I think you agreed, like, the Dark One feels like how Rumpel believes people see him. So he just kind of does the put on with all uh-huh. the, you know, bullshit. And then this is kind of his good version of that. Like, he plays the part of this, like, perfect gold knight because uh-huh. this is what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. And then Henry uses the paperback book that tells the story to find Regina.
I love that they avoid, Regina was not playing around.
No.
Because, like, we've seen Snow, but her traps didn't look lethal. Regina's did.
The one with the spikes in it? Like, that's, like, the pit trap, sure. Okay. But the...
I mean, what's at the bottom of that pit? Is it spikes? That
could be.
Because that tree looked like it was coming to impale you.
It did. It did.
Yeah, Regina is not fucking around.
And she's just...
She's Snow White. I mean, literally, yeah. She's as broken as we see Snow before she meets Charming. Her taking the book and throwing it in the fire was so dumb. Like, what are you doing?
It actually kind of reminded me when she planted the bug and Cora didn't like what it was saying. And she was like, I didn't like what that magical box was saying.
Like a cat? No. Yeah, that's actually kind of how it felt. Like, she was just throwing a bit of a, she threw a bit of a tantrum. Like, I don't like this book.
Yeah. And Henry kind of gives up on her. Like, she just, like, won't do what he wants.
No, true.
Yeah.
He doesn't give up. He switches tactics.
Yeah.
He goes, it's like, well, I can't convince you. I need to find something else.
Yeah, because she thinks he's just crazy. But if he can find somebody else that is willing to help him, maybe she won't think he's crazy.
In her defense, she sounds crazy.
Oh, he does sound crazy.
Oh, I'm your adopted son in a place called Maine that I've never heard of and I've never met you. You sound like a nut job.
Although it's interesting, we get similar to how we talk about with the curse, like they're still in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, she clearly feels some sort of connection to Henry. Like, she even says, like, why am I still talking to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he knows a lot about her.
He does.
I think that's the part that's surprising to her. She's like, how do you... It would have been nice if Henry was more versed in lore and able to recite Snow's backstory.
Uh-huh.
And then she could have been like, how do you know all this?
Yeah.
And it's like, because I know you. You just don't know me.
Well, and even at one point, I can't remember, like, what she said, but he reads her, like, a book. Like, he's like, oh, you're lying, or like, no, you don't...
And I know that face.
Yeah, like, I know that face. Yeah, that's exactly what he
says. Everything. Yep.
And she's like, yeah, I'm not.
I'm not a good liar.
I am a bad liar.
Yep.
And then we cut to Isaac, and he gets caught by evil dwarves.
That was eerie.
It was.
It was.
It's like they're, like, very slowly whistling hi-ho.
Yeah. It was ominous because you're like, this is really uncomfortable right now. I thought Leroy was just going to straight murder him. When he starts to swing the axe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, with this is... Wow. And then it gets... This is probably my favorite part of the episode. Dark Snow is a trip.
She's... I love her delivery of like everything. Like it's very ham, like very over the top, like on purpose.
Yeah.
Which actually makes sense. Like if you think about, I mean, partially Rumpel does it to like play it up, but it's also like hiding his pain a little bit. Like same for her. Like,
it's a put on.
Yeah. I also loved when she talks about like removing his fingers and his toes and his ears. And he's like, no removing, please.
Well, she's a complete, so it's funny. Evil Snow is much more terrifying than Regina was because Regina just wanted to kill you and be done with it. Evil Snow seems to revel in your suffering, which is like, what the fuck? Very Cruella-like, actually. I do love the, I'm on your side. Technically, you're at my feet.
She just sort of delivers every line with like a nonchalance that I am very into.
I love Jennifer Goodwin. Yeah. Every role that they give her, she nails perfect. Look, her hair looks ridiculous, but in like a hilarious way. Like, what did you call it? Avant-garde?
Yeah.
She looked, I love the red dress. Like, that better be on top costumes. That was fantastic.
I didn't add that one. But...
Well, I'm adding it. That was fantastic. Also, just like, yeah, you said there's a nonchalance and there's just such like a, her eyes show a level of death. Like,
yeah.
She just looks dead inside. Yeah. And her voice is like monotone. She never really raises it. She doesn't scream. Mm-hmm. She's like the opposite of Regina, actually. Like, Regina's super passionate and like loses her mind all the time. And Snow's just kind of like, right here the whole time, which is actually more terrifying.
And I love charming with eyeliner.
Not only eyeliner.
I will always find you.
Excuse me? I will always find you, Your Majesty. There we go. Like, their interplay is always fantastic, but even on the evil side was fantastic.
I also love when they find Regina, like, when Regina goes to, like, and it snows in there, and Snow, like, goes to grab her heart, and then Charming convinces her they need to ask her about the boy first, and Snow, like, pulls her hand out and then is, like, wiping it on her dress.
Also, what's interesting is that Prince Charming and, going real quick before we go to the Regina part, they look at each other and you can tell they can't stand each other.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fascinating to see, like, you know, we always say when they look at each other, other than, like, when they're really deep fighting, there's, like, fireworks. And this was the inverse of that. You could tell he hates her.
Yeah.
You could tell she hates him. And it's, like, just funny to see those two just look at each other like, what? Like, everything is just exasperation when they look at each other. Or even when he says it, he's like, don't you think we should ask about the boy first? She's like, ugh, fine.
It would be interesting to know if Charming's story is any different. Like, because what it sounds like is, like, Evil Snow and Evil James connected, and that is why they were in love. And then Evil James died, and she, like, has sort of taken Charming against his will as a, like, pseudo-replacement. But, like, was he just the same dude? Like, was he just, like, a nice, happy hero? Or does he have a bad backstory, too?
In this world.
Okay.
That's because that's what Regina did to the Huntsman. So uh-huh. he's the Huntsman.
Okay.
That's at least what I took from it. I don't know if that's correct because we don't spend enough time with it.
But sure.
That's kind of how I like felt, like he's her huntsman.
Yeah,
I thought that was... I didn't love this scene with Regina and Snow. She goes very like, isn't this enough? Haven't we be like done fighting? And you're like, I get what they're going for, but like I've already seen this. This never works. Like you're not going to talk the villain out of it.
Yeah. Something I do like about this episode is there's a lot of, like, parallel lines where we've, like, seen them before, but they're delivered differently. Like, I will always find you. Mm-hmm. The hole in your heart is something that Regina brings up here. But you're totally, like, they're... It also is just hard to believe, like, oh, we just jump straight to that. We're just jumping straight to that in this conversation. We've never seen you speak before. Like, it's kind of... Because when they... I think that line comes in when Regina makes Snow eat the apple.
Yeah.
And, like, we had seen so much happen between them.
That was an end of the
season. And that was sort of like a showdown. Yeah. This is just like a happenstance, like...
Well, this is a trap for someone who...
Sure.
We don't even know if these two ever cared for each other.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we knew at some point that Regina had saved Snow, and I'm assuming the parallel is
here.
But, yeah, it doesn't seem to fit. And also, Snow is too much of a sadist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Regina was just angry about something, whereas Snow seems to be just, like, a monster, like a straight monster. So, yeah, I don't love it. It's funny to see Robin save the day.
I also love when Regina hits Charming in the face with a bag of money.
I don't remember that.
It's because she grabs the money when she sees Robin. She grabs the money. She whacks Charming in the face, and then she gets on the horse. And she doesn't know it's Robin Hood.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. Robin Hood at first was like, "Oh, is Robin Hood is really the same though?"
exactly the same.
He just is in love with Marion. Basically,
yeah.
This is Marion. Who I would have loved to have seen Marion in this story. Mm-hmm. Do you think Selena was awake?
I don't know that anyone is awake.
I think Rumpel and Selena might be.
I don't think they're awake.
Because Rumpel, the cowardice thing, Rumpel knows that there's something off.
Yeah.
And then
because Isaac tells him that there's something
off. No, he says, I know what secrets you have been keeping from Belle. Mm. Which means Rumpel knew it already. Mm. He just revealed that I also know. And Selena knows her green skin is a thing.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So at some level, she knew that she was...
She doesn't know it's a thing. Wouldn't you also freak out if you saw her skin?
Yeah, but I wouldn't freak out and run in for everyone. That's some that she does it like someone who has something to hide. Because like if I started having a condition like that and I'm in front of the person I love, I'm like, hey, I'm also struggling with something here. And so she's like, oh shit, my secret's coming out.
Mm, I didn't read it that way, but okay. Yeah, Robin is essentially the same. I love Regina's hair.
Yep.
I love the braid. It's very cool. I'm into it.
They do a good job of making her look very young and not very powerful.
Yeah.
They're always good with that with mm-hmm. her.
It was also really sad when, like, Robin is telling her, like, oh, I'm getting out of the game because I met someone. And she, like, thinks it's her. And then it's not her.
I kind of wish we'd gotten a reference to Cora. Like, it would have been nice for Regina to be like, yeah, I got to see true love because my parents were truly in love with one another and my mother worshipped my father before he died. And it's like the complete inverse of their relationship would have been kind of funny. Like, and my dad thought she was the greatest, you know, the way that Leopold and Ava thought about each other. And yeah, it's like, you think he's in love with you after like one, which was he? I'm not really ever clear with that.
That Robin?
Yeah.
Was in love with Regina in this
story? In the alternate story. Because, like, he clearly is not in love with her at the tavern, because he's talking about Selena, even though she thinks that. But then at the wedding, he hesitates, and he makes eye contact with Regina, which seems to imply he was thinking about saying no.
I think it's similar, like, they felt something, because there is something there, they just don't remember it. But I don't know, the story also often is into true love at first sight, so.
Yeah. It's surprising that Isaac would write that.
Yeah.
Because this is his story, he wouldn't write Regina, I don't know.
None of this was meant to happen. Like, Regina and Robin were...
Yeah, they were. This is exactly how it's supposed to happen, I thought. Other than the, like, because, like, the savior, or not the savior, the, Golden Knight shows up immediately to kill the ogre and
Snow. I just don't know if it would have happened that way because Snow only knew about Regina robbing the tax carriage because
he said that
because Isaac told her. And like, I guess maybe Robin was going to be there the whole time anyway, but he wouldn't have had to save her from anything.
So, what's interesting is that going back a little bit, when they're in New York, it seems like Regina's the main character of this story.
No, I don't think that's true. She just said Regina's my favorite character.
But, like, even the buttons, long live Regina.
Well, yeah, she made that button.
Oh, I see. So she's like the
Like, she wore one because she made it, and then she made one for him, too.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm sure she's, like, a major part of the story, but I don't think that she's the main character.
Who is?
I would have to assume that Rumpel is, but we see so little of Rumpel that I don't know.
What is
that? I mean, he did say the inciting incident of this chapter is the ogre, the ogre thing. So, like, that chapter was supposed to be about Rumpel, I think.
It's the ending chapter.
Yeah, and then also, like, the ending of the story is Robin and Selena getting married?
That's why I'm wondering, was it truly Regina is the main character? Because her breaking up the wedding and getting with her true love would seem to imply the end of the story.
But that's not what's supposed to happen.
No, but it's weird. I don't get
because
it.
The whole thing is that they have to stop Robin and Selena from getting married because that's the end of the story.
Yeah, and he wrote it that way. Was Regina just supposed to get
also married? Like so boring? That's the end of the story.
It's a sequel.
I guess
you obviously didn't want any more, right? Maybe she dies. Maybe Snow's supposed to kill her.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I wish we got more. I mean, my biggest complaint is that this was...
It's just not enough.
I needed... Look, I'm sorry you wasted a half season with Frozen. Give me a half season of Truly Heroes and Villains.
Yeah.
I've been in.
Also, like, wouldn't it have been fun to see, like, Cruella here?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Just like nice Cruella? What would that even be?
I'm not going to touch on that because I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about that in the recap. This should have been filled with people we know.
Yeah.
Like, imagine getting to see conservative Ruby.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, the opposite of who she is. A super sweet, nice old granny as opposed to, like, the badass Dr. Whale who's, like, taking a vow of chastity where she doesn't try to date and, you know, like, doesn't believe in that kind of science that would bring back the dead. That's unholy.
I liked how they made Belle's, like, peasant costume into, like, Belle's bell dress, the yellow dress.
Like I said, nothing about Belle was any different.
Yeah, I know. Not different.
Not at all.
Like,
she, even her behavior is the exact same how she is, basically, in the real life. When her and Rumpel are happy, that is exactly how she acts. Like, or think about, like, Belle, when Belle and Rumpel are, like, on good terms in the Dark Castle, that's basically how she acts.
I think she does. She's very obedient here, which is not a thing that Belle is.
I mean, kinda-ish. Like, if he tells her to do something in the past that she fundamentally disagrees with, she won't. But when he says, like, go dust the book, she's like, okay. Because she doesn't care, right? And he doesn't say anything in here that's, like, morally wrong.
That's true.
Like, and, you know, she's got a baby she's taking care of. So, like, you know. Yeah,
unnamed
I guess if
baby.
He, huh?
Unnamed baby.
Baby Neil. This is where Baby Neil was, by the way.
Oh, it's just, that's, they just took Snow and Charming's baby?
Yeah. It's my son's name, so it's my baby now. That's the dark secret he was hiding from Belle.
Oh my god. That's way more interesting.
I know. Yeah. Okay. You want to talk... Anything else you want to talk about with Regina and...
No, I've already moved on to Rumpel and Belle. Well...
Well, Rumpel and Belle really don't have much in the first part of the two-parter.
Regina and Snow. No.
Okay.
Well, I guess because Isaac also shows up.
He does.
The first part.
Yep.
And he tells Rumpel, before all this, you were a villain. Maybe the worst one of all. This is why I don't think Rumpel's awake. Like, he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm the light one.
Yeah.
And then he says, I know you'll make the right choice, Rumpel. You always do. Which is just, like, such an inversion of... Because, like, Rumpel will say, like, I always make the wrong choice.
Well, it's actually not an inversion. It's a direct statement about, you will make the wrong choice. It's what I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what he's going to do is wrong. Like, even when he's talking to Belle, he goes, I have to do something I don't want to do because it's protecting our happy ending. He is still making the wrong choice, but he just believes it's for the right reasons, which oftentimes is what Rumpel believes anyway.
That's true.
And
then Henry goes to find Hook.
Yeah, that was funny as shit. I thought Hook was, I give Hook all the credit, Colin O'Donoghue?
Yep.
Great work.
He was so good.
Good work.
So good.
You can beat him! No, I really can't. And he just goes to screw up the deck? And then I get pulled by like a 14-year-old.
I know, Henry just like instantly is like, alright, I got this.
And isn't it the same way that Hook beats Blackbeard in the Ariel flashback? He's like, I got my ship.
Yep.
Oh, Blackbeard.
Also, Henry had some good delivery here. When they, like, are approaching the tower and they see the Black Knight. And Hook's like, oh, well, there's a Black Knight standing guard.
One.
There to go. And Henry's like, only one? And, like, at the time, they don't know that it's also a dragon.
Sure, but it's only one.
Yeah. Loved the Star Wars Easter egg.
That was awesome.
They went in hard on it. Wookiee prisoner gag. And they even said the prisoner was from Kashyyyk. That's good.
Also, one of the rare times you actually end up seeing male on female violence in this show.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot. Because we don't know that's a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it Henry or Hook who does it?
I don't know.
I think it's Henry, because I think he's the prisoner and he reaches up because I think Hook is too cowardly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hook doesn't know how to fight at all.
That shit was funny. And then I thought it was a good... I actually, as much as I don't like Jennifer Morrison, I thought she was really good in these scenes.
Uh-huh.
Her knowing who Henry was like a fun twist, because he was like... Oh, wait, he was about to explain himself, kind of like the way that Emma was going to explain herself to Charming when she comes back in 3B.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Emma. And she's like, oh, shit, you know who I am. And then Henry's like, oh, thank God you know who I am.
When she says you knew you'd find me and she smiles, it was so genuine.
Yes.
And then that adorable scene where she, like, bumps into Hook and he's like, oh my God, beautiful woman. I don't know how to be.
Well, so what's funny is that you remember the line, I think it's Regina was like, and you two pine for each other. And Emma's like, I don't pine for anyone. Pining. Oh, shit.
Pining.
That's the first time I've ever seen Emma look at Hook that way. Like, she looks at him and she's like, oh my God. She's like smiling and like looking longingly into his eyes. And he's just like, crazy, pretty lady. What the fuck?
I love how he offers a hand. I know. Just very awkwardly.
You want to tell your story?
I've told this story on this podcast.
Yeah, but I like hearing it again.
Yeah, someone tried to kiss me on a date once, and I shook his hand.
I've never had that happen to me. But I have to admit, I would probably feel real bad about myself if it didn't. Like, well, I misread this date entirely.
Yeah. Mike Birbiglia has a funny joke about that, too. His now wife, that he, like, tried to kiss her when they went on a date, and she said, oh, no, thank you.
So I misread it the other way with Jen, my wife, where she was like, are you going to kiss me finally? I was like, all right, my bad.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is still the better play than reaching in for a kiss and then getting a handshake.
Yep, probably.
Yeah. Also, so after they go through that, and Hook is hilarious here. He, like, gives her the handshake, and she's just like, this is ridiculous. Which, of course, perfect Emma moment, right? She finally shows, like, the emotion that present Hook is like, I've been waiting for you to look at me like that my entire life. You're never going to get that. But then she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's not just a guard. That's, oh, where was Maleficent? By the way?
I know.
Mistake not having her in here. Lily is pissed and immediately goes dragon mode. Like, oh, fuck.
She just totally breaks the tower.
Oh, yeah. No reason, by the way. Just decides, fuck this tower. And Hook and Emma go, well, we're murdering this dragon. Because she drowned.
Definitely.
Also, like, I don't buy that, like, why would Lily care?
I don't know.
She's enslaved by snow?
I guess maybe. Maybe she's, I don't know.
To protect that.
Maybe that's where Maleficent is. Her mother is trapped by snow? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they head to the town square.
Yep.
Nondescript CGI town square.
The same town square they always go to.
Totally.
Because I was going to say, if like it reminds me of the crocodile.
Yeah, it does.
Same exact place.
Totally. I actually really like Emma's outfit here. The pants with the like cool collar and yeah.
I also think this is the best way to position her as a character. Everyone else is ridiculous. And she's kind of just normal. Which makes it more of an inversion because she's like, oh, fuck, I got Cowardly Hook, I got Psychotic Snow, I've got Regina who's on the run, I got Charming who's like got no heart and dead inside. What the fuck is going on right now? You know, it's kind of like when you said the first time she saw the Dark One, she's like, do you see this shit? Gold is fucking crazy. Which, like, if you know Gold, you're like, okay, he's sinister. I didn't know you dressed like a skater. Like,
yeah.
I've been like, well, this explains a lot, Hook. This is why you call him the crocodile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally looks like
a crocodile. He's scaly. And she has to try to teach him how to fight. I love the Jack Sparrow reference. And he's like, is that a good thing? I do like that he's still perceptive in this world. Because he goes, we must be close in the real world.
Uh-huh.
Because of, like, the physical closeness of, like, Emma's, like, reaching around him. I feel like I've never seen this outside of this episode from her.
What?
The, like, physical closeness.
They're very physical all the time.
I don't ever feel like she's, like, reaching around him, hugging him, or, like, they're not. I mean, I know you've said that, but I've really never seen that.
They're physical all the time. Like, I agree she's, like, she's never said she loves him, but they are always holding hands. She's always leaning into him. Like he always has his arms around her.
I've seen that after, like, a deep conversation. But, I mean, like, I don't recall them, like, I don't ever see them, like, hugging like that. I've seen her lean on his chest when she needs something, like when she was bothered by her pants. But, like, this was them doing, like, a training montage, but it's not just, like, a normal training montage. She was all over him.
Yeah, she was all over him.
Which was, like, it was nice to see. It was just, like, poor current Hook. It's this is the second time that another Hook will be having the physical contact with Emma that you pine for.
And then Lily, Snow, and Charming show up.
Hold on a quick second. Hook makes a line that I think was really funny, and he says, I feel like I should be jealous of this Hook. And I wonder if that's actually true.
Maybe it is.
I'm not sure he should. I don't know that the Hook in the past should be jealous of the current Hook, because the Hook in the past gets more affection.
In the past.
Like the flashback, or not flashback, the story.
The hook, alternate reality.
Alternate reality hook, I feel like he's getting from him what he actually would love to get in the present.
Roger, you gotta get flashback hook, alternate reality hook, wish hook, and real hook. Plus season 7 hook. You gotta separate all the hooks. They're all different. Come on. Get your head in the game.
My dad. Heroes and villains hook. Wait, I'm sorry. We'll call him Vuk.
Vuk. Love it. He's so, Vuk.
Vuk. Yeah, Vuk is...
Coward Hook.
Oh, let's call him Cook.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's go Cook. Coward Hook. Yeah, I like that Snow is a sadist. God, she, like, does that, like, funny thing that you'll see villains do sometimes, you know, because Evan gives, like, a pretty heartfelt speech about, like, you taught me how to hope, and she's like, oh, yeah. And that hope is exactly what I need to snuff out of you. And you're just like, what the fuck? Snow! You're so dark. You know what's funny? I didn't find this Snow hot, like, at all. But I love this Snow.
Like, oh, you didn't? You always talk about how you think Dark Snow is hot.
I always do. Like, for some reason, this one didn't, like, I wasn't like, ooh, I want that. But I was like, I want to watch that 15 episodes. Hmm. I think it was the hair. I think the hair bothered me.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I liked the hair.
I mean, well, okay. Thought the hair was didn't look very feminine to me. How about that? Just it looked kind of like a bird. That's kind of what I got out of her hair. Like it looked like a mohawk with like a little
dress. I was having a hard time with the dresses because she doesn't fill them out in the same way that Regina does.
She doesn't, but I actually like that. I like that. Like obviously, like Regina's a very busty woman, so like there's more. But like I actually thought it was nice to see her in the ridiculous, over the top costumes. Yeah, I mean obviously, I don't. Regina Kirby. Like, they're just different.
Yeah.
But I thought they still looked very nice on her, just in a very...
Yeah, I mean, she looks good.
I would say she looked more beautiful than sexy.
Okay. And then Hook and Charming get in a fight, which is kind of an interesting juxtaposition for their antagonistic relationship.
I mean, they've been in a fight before at Neverland, when they were going to Neverland on the ship. This one is, like, opposite, though, because... Hook is a coward and weak.
But he does
stand up.
He knows he's gonna die and he's willing to die for them.
And to your point, there's something in there. He actually is still good with a blade. Like somehow he's retained his ability to be a good swordsman and he beats Charming.
He also thought of like knocking over that thing to disable most of the knights.
There's a part of Hook still in Cook.
Yeah.
But oh, and this was fucked up. So Snow does the distraction. Like, this felt like a teamwork thing. Snow very clearly was like, hey, I'm not going to do anything, and intentionally positioned him around so that Charming could get the kill and killed him just like I'm pretty sure this is an allusion to how James died, which is you didn't check the body and then right to the back.
I can't believe that he let her do that. Because, like, I mean, maybe he can't defeat her. She has magic, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're trying to protect those people over there from this person. And now you just let her rotate you. So she's between you and those people.
Well, I mean, he put the sword to her. But, like, what's he going to do? Either he puts the sword to her or he doesn't and keeps it on Charming. And then she walks over there anyway. So he's like, he is trying to stop her. But he's kind of like, it's 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Also,
kind of attacker.
I had a memory of Snow throwing a fireball with like a sadistic smile on her face, but that never happened.
No, it didn't.
But I swear I remember seeing that in an episode.
It's just in your dreams, Roger.
Did it happen in my wish? It was weird. I could have sworn I remember her throwing a fireball.
Yeah, I'm also curious how she learned magic.
She was taught by her evil mother, Ava.
But I get, but Regina wasn't taught by her evil mother, Cora. She was taught by Rumpelstiltskin, who doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Neil's the dark one.
Whoa, that would be so good. Wow.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Henry also arrives carrying so much bread.
Yeah. You see, like, a bag sticking out. I know. Yeah.
Like, go find some food, Henry. Just, like, only bread.
What money do you think he used? Oh, the money that Regina stole.
Yeah, no, because Regina's not with them yet.
Oh, where the hell did he get money?
Maybe he stole it.
He's a good thief. Maybe he got some money. Maybe he stole some money from Regina.
Maybe. Then they go find Regina.
They do. And Emma, so it's funny, I said it was like, It reminded me when Henry was talking to Regina the first time, it was like how Henry used to have to talk to Emma in season one. This is a curse. This is not real. You need to wake up and break this. And they'd be like, yeah, whatever, kid, you're nuts. And now it was Regina in that position, but it's Emma basically trying to wake up Regina. And she's like, your kid needs some leader in. And I was just like, that is the most true statement like anyone has. You have not even the half of it. Like, that's just factual. I thought they had one of the better lines in this exchange. So they do the line that I think Zelina was trying to do, but they actually do it correctly, which is, my happy ending isn't a man. And then Emma responds with, yeah, but love it needs to be a part of the equation and you need to be open to it, which is the correct statement, yeah, in my opinion. Like, that's fine if it's not, but you can't rule it out. And she's like, all right, yeah, but like, what if Robin doesn't feel that way? And I was like, that's an intelligent conversation.
Yeah. I thought that Jennifer Morrison was very good in the scene.
I think she was very good.
She was very convincing.
Like, Heroes and Villains, she did a great job.
Like, she was, when she was saying, like, I just watched the man I love die. The worst part is that I never told him I loved him, not once. I was too scared. But now I'll never have the chance to take that next step with him because he's gone. My only chance with him is if you don't make the same mistake I did. And when it made me cry.
It would be nice if the character was capable of expressing emotions before tragedy happened.
Yes, absolutely. And then she still doesn't.
And didn't fail the moment when the opportunity... Like, I understand forgetting the lesson years later. Like, if I ever saw him again, and then, like, it's 10 years. You failed the chance! Like, what are you doing, Emma? Yeah, I mean, we can get to that later. Yeah, she definitely fucked up. Just massive fuck up there.
Yeah.
Learned nothing from this entire lesson.
And then they go, they do convince Regina to go.
It is interesting to me that we frame breaking up a wedding as the noble thing to do. And we see this in media all the time. Like, well, if you really, like, Friends, right? Like, there's the episode where Rachel goes to go see Ross and, like, he needs to know how I feel. And Hugh Laurie finally is like, and you think that's the right thing to do?
No, yeah.
And we see this all the time. Like, well, if you truly are meant to be together, go break up the wedding. It's like, what if he's like, no, you crazy bitch. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the right thing to do for Robin to marry Zelina if he doesn't love her.
Correct.
But I don't, like, it shouldn't matter whether Regina has feelings for him or not.
Correct.
Yeah.
If the conversation was Robin, marry the woman you love, and if that's not Zelina, you owe it to both the woman you love and Zelina not to do this. That seemed logical. Instead, we were like, Regina, he needs to know how you feel. I was like, yeah, he might not feel that way about you.
Especially, like, day of wedding. And, you know, we're just, like, racing to the end of this very boring story of Robin and Zelina getting married, and church bells ring, and that's the end.
Really don't like that story, huh?
It's just boring. I also had a question. If Henry died here, does Henry really die? Because Henry wasn't, like, written to be here. He came here.
I don't think he would, because from how it seems like it is phrased, anything that happens within this story can be undone.
But he's not in the story.
Well, he is now.
Yeah.
So he is, obviously the events that are happening are part of the story now. So it sounds like it could be undone. Because Hook is real too, and he dies, and he comes back to life. So I don't know that's factual. Like, if Isaac had died, would he stay dead?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think because it happens within the context of, you know, or maybe Henry could undo it, and they just like, nah, leave Isaac dead.
And Rumpel should, well, he has that conversation with Belle about how he needs to be a hero. And it's sort of like the power. Like, he's like drunk on being a hero.
Well, and also what sucks is that, like, even in this universe, he's still lying to Belle.
Yeah.
Like, they just fundamentally don't work at any level because he is who he is. Even in his happy ending, he's a coward and deceitful.
Zelina is still very on brand as well. She throws a temper tantrum about blood on her dress.
I want it now! I kind of thought Zelina might be awake because she acted so petulant that I was like, that seems like the Zelina I know. What about me? Like, that's basically, I did too!
I also love when Emma just punches the author.
That ship's fun as hell.
It's like, somebody stop that man's mouth from moving.
She you know, somewhere, I wish we'd cut to the Golden Knight, he kind of smirks.
He's like, yeah.
Kind of want to do that myself.
Yeah, he talks too much.
What was interesting about this, they exchange looks. So, like, Robin's basically about to say, I do. Turns, he does see her.
Uh-huh.
And, like, pauses. And then I think Selena's like, hello? Is there something you're forgetting? It almost made me think that Selena was in on it. That's why I was wondering if she was awake. And, like, she knows that the only way to solidify her happy ending is that, like, she needs Robin to say, I do. So she's kind of, like, trying to rush the process along.
I mean, that's the only way that it would actually be a happy ending for Selena. But if we go with your argument that it's, like, Isaac trying to torture them, he just, like, he gives Selena the thing that she just told Regina she doesn't, she, I don't need a man. And now that's all she gets. And she doesn't even get to know that it's because she's torturing her sister.
That would seem on brand for both of those stories.
Yeah.
Which is funny also that, like, Zelina is like, I don't need a man. I was like, you're like the ultimate choose me, pick me girl. Yes, you do. You literally need anyone to pick you. That was your whole plot of 3B.
You want Rumple to pick you.
You want mommy to pick you. Yeah. You just want to be chosen. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I think that was Belle. Whatever. Like, you know, same premise.
I did think it was cool that I thought it was a cool twist that Henry is the author. I think we've been waiting for a while for Henry to be
relevant.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool.
I also thought it was nice that, so I kind of bitched at the end of season two. I was like, that was a weak ass, almost sacrifice. Like, I don't think you get credit for that. This was an actual sacrifice. Like, Regina both ran away from Robin to save someone she doesn't really know and took a killing blow. Like, that's a true, like, that's a heroic moment. And she could have died. Like,
I mean, she, that's why she's the savior here.
Yeah. Yep.
And Henry figures that out.
Yep. And Rumble pulls the trigger. Like, he's like, I'm killing the boy. Fuck this nonsense. And then he just says,
the boy will be your undoing.
What's funny, though, is that it almost seems like he wasn't trying to kill Henry and that all he was trying to do was bait Regina into taking the blow. Because he says, it is done. And then he leaves. So it seems like he did know that would work. Because he doesn't, like, he doesn't actually go to hit Henry again. He just
vengeance. Well, or was it done because Isaac told him that all that needed to happen was the wedding needed to occur and the bells needed to ring?
Maybe. But yeah, he needed to do something, and he doesn't seem bothered by the fact that he didn't hit Henry.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems like he was okay hitting Regina.
And then Henry writes, thanks to the hero Regina's sacrifice, Isaac's villainous work was undone.
Well, we get a bit of happenstance. After Isaac gets knocked the fuck out, Henry sees the tablet/pen.
The pen.
And then he's kind of like, it calls to him, as I'm guessing what we got there.
Yeah.
And then he's decides to, like, oh, I might be the new author. And then he picks it up, and then it does confirm that he is the new mm-hmm. author. And Isaac is like, are you fucking kidding me? I thought that was a good twist. I wouldn't call it a twist. I would call that, like, that was a good conclusion to Henry's story for this season.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was the one who initially found everything. He was the one who released the author, and ultimately he's going to be the one who replaces the author. And it's a good role for him, too.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't really had much to do. He undoes everything with a very simple, like, that's it, we're done here. No dramatic flair. That concludes, like, my happy part of this episode, the episodes. I liked Heroes and Villains. Thought that was good. Then we go to Storybrooke Part 2.
Yeah, so Snow and Charming and Isaac have that conversation. We kind of already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Apprentice and Henry have a conversation that is, like, sort of confusing.
I actually really liked this conversation for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
I liked that he said, it's like, he basically implies it's really hard not to try to bring my dad back.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a real thing if you've lost a loved one and you had this unlimited power. Why can't I just write my dad back into the story? And then that's when the Apprentice reveals, like, yeah, but unfortunately, your dad died in real world. Sadly, we can't. So he empathizes, like, I understand where you're coming from. You just can't do it. It just can't be done.
And then he says, the best way to show your love for those who are gone is to tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry breaks the pen.
He says, logically, no one should have that much power. And he's right.
He is, but I also, like, I just, like, don't understand what the author is. Because, like, they're like, it's the most important job. They must record. And then Henry breaks the pen and it's like, is this okay? Did Henry just break the most important thing? What's going to happen now?
Yeah, that's a damn question.
And then Belle comes across Rumple.
I didn't like this scene at all.
I can't watch them do this anymore.
It's the same shit we've seen. It was fine in the past. It was fine the first time. Maybe the second time. This is like act four of this same dumb... I think the conversation was basically part two of what Hope said. Like, you could have everything. And Rumpel's like, not really. Because I really never bought that you could actually love me. Which is fundamentally a flaw between him and her. It's like, he doesn't really believe it. And she's like, oh, I was in love with you. But it's like, I mean, you weren't that much in love with him. You fucking cast him out. And, like, he wasn't that much in love with you because he was willing to do unnecessary, deceitful shit to you. Like, you're just a bad relationship. And I'm done with this
relationship.
Very toxic. Very toxic. I do like, though, he says, like, you need to run.
Yeah.
Shit's about to get bad.
It's going to get bad. And then kind of everybody shows up. I love how the apprentice's magic is, like, weird, old wordy spells that, like, are poems.
Yep. A lot of rhyming.
Like, takes forever to say them. Like, everybody else's magic is just, it just occurs.
I mean, he's reciting a spell, which yes. is different. It's very old-timey.
And they manage to trap the darkness in the hat for a bit. And Rumpel's heart is white? That was cool.
I think it's supposed to be clear.
Okay.
But sure. It does have a white light.
It's very shiny.
Yeah. But he doesn't wake up, though.
No.
So...
The apprentice actually kind of puts a...
like a protection.
And Regina did it to Daniel, too. Like a preservation spell on him.
It almost... So I think this is the part in which in real life, I think Robert Carlyle had things to do. So I think they had to kind of write him out for a little bit. But I'm shocked that, like, he doesn't just kind of, like, pop up. Also, without his powers of the Dark One, shouldn't his age be prohibitive now?
Yeah, I don't... Maybe, like, the magic... It's not just that he was, like, disguising his oldness. I think it, like, actually kept him young. So he's, like, just this age.
Okay, so let's say he's 40. Wait, how old do you think he is?
I think Rumpel is in his mid-50s.
All right, so... I don't know. I don't know that he is, actually. Thinking about, like, the flashback, he doesn't feel that old when, like, he becomes the Dark One. Maybe. But, like, he's going to wake up with no power and a real bad limp. I guess he's just back to the season one Dark One.
I guess.
With no plan to, yeah.
But he theoretically might be a blank slate.
Yeah. But maybe he's now capable of making good choices.
No. Oh, I just fell down a Reddit hole to find out how old Rumpel is. Nope. The internet doesn't know.
Are you sure?
The internet doesn't know. It says how old he is, like, as the Dark One, but I can't find how old he was when he became the Dark One. All right, well, we'll have to look that up later. If anyone knows, twiceuponatimepod@gmail.com. Thank you.
I'm sure someone has calculated this out.
I'm sure. I'm not sure they ever give us information that would let us know, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
The darkness can't stay in the hat. And it goes into the apprentice. That was really scary when his eyes turned black. It was not good.
And it looked like it killed him.
Yeah, he's not dead, though, because he speaks to Emma.
But he's dying.
Yeah. And he tells her about the sorcerer, who is Merlin.
Yeah.
And then he tethered the darkness to a human soul so it can be controlled.
It's kind of fucked up.
It is really fucked up. He just, like... Yeah, that's really fucked up. And then the darkness goes out in the street. And then it attacks Regina. And then Emma...
I don't understand why it went after Regina first.
I'm not sure, because I would have bought... Because it seemed like if going after the apprentice makes sense, like going after like the most powerful revenge or the most powerful person here, or like whatever. And like if it's that it was going after Regina because she's like the darkest person here, or, like, the most powerful person here.
The most darkness in their heart, maybe?
Maybe, but, like, well, Emma says it's, like, it's snuffing out the light.
Yeah.
But I don't...
Because you would go...
It's trying to make her all the way dark, yes. I guess.
Yeah.
Path
of least resistance, right? If the person who's the darkest would be the quickest.
Yeah.
Dark. Because, like, couldn't it have just tried to go back into Rumpel?
He's nothing now, though. Like, there's no darkness in his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could put it back. Yeah. Yep.
No, yeah. You just don't like this at all?
I think it's terrible. I think it's a missed opportunity. I think it plays off the failed moment in a way that I don't particularly care for. And we actually skipped that part.
The failed moment.
When they come back and she reunites with Hook.
Oh, yeah. And she doesn't say, I love you.
It was right there. Like, that was...
She even tells him she has something to tell him, and that look of anticipation.
And she chickens out. Yeah. You just, you know, sometimes you miss the moment. She swing and miss. For no reason, either.
So patient. She does manage to say it at the end here.
Because it's a crisis. Because
it's the crisis, yeah.
I mean, the same thing you said with Bella. I just can't watch them do this. You think this time Emma's going to embrace herself as a savior? I don't care anymore. Like, you've cried wolf 18 times.
The thing that I like about this scene is that she fulfills her promise to Regina. Like, she lets Regina have the happy ending that she promised her. And she, like, she becomes the Dark One so that Regina doesn't have to.
Sure. The problem with this is that this was, like, the dumbest ending to the story. We spent the whole season trying to avoid the darkness in Emma. Then we found out we didn't need the darkness in Emma in the first place. We could have just gone to Lily. Oh, but wait! The darkness now goes to Emma because he... What?
Well, and in terms of missed opportunities, like, would have been very fun to just watch Rumpelstiltskin just be entirely the Dark One.
Yes! The Dark One Unleashed would have been fun.
I mean, I don't really know how they would stop that, but...
Oh, they don't.
Yeah.
They all die. That's... We go to the underworld because they're all dead. And also, I just think this is the wrong person to take the darkness. I just fundamentally don't. Like, when we watch the end of Sympathy for Deville and we close on her face and it's like, oh, you can't do this. Now we're supposed to get a whole season of her as the Dark One?
No, yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, even it would have been interesting to see Regina struggle with real darkness. Like, not just the darkness that she already has, but, like, all of the darkness.
I don't think we even need to go down that hole again. Like, we've already seen Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many characters that we had at our disposal that would have been fun to see. Henry would have been fun to see. Snow would have been fun to... Like, honestly, you could have had, like, Snow being like, we failed you in the past. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that again. And Snow is the one who steps up and takes it. And then Charming, because Charming and Snow always have to find each other. Now Charming's trying to control a dark Snow. Or fuck, let Charming be dark. Dark Charming would have been fun.
Yeah.
Dark Belle could be fun. Give her some actual character in depth. Dark Belle, the conversation with Mo French could be wild. Talk about the town line there, Pops.
Yeah. Poppy.
Poppy. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of options. And kind of my complaint this whole season is that, like, had to give it to the anchor.
I was excited about it. Wasn't so excited when I actually get to see it.
Oh, no.
But at the time, I was like, that was a pretty cool ending.
You know who actually would have been better? Dark Hook would have been super fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, Emma tries and Hook steps up to save her. And then you could have still done the stupid I love you thing. She shouldn't just failed that moment, but... Yeah.
Anything else?
Fun, ultimately disappointing, I think is exactly how I would describe it. I don't think it's a bad couple episodes. Like, really, if the story ends at the conclusion of Heroes and Villains, this probably goes into my top 15 of, like, really fun episodes.
Mm.
I don't particularly care for what happens in Storybook Part 2. Other than, I think the conversation between the Charmings and Isaac was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time, I feel like the villains' motivations are something that are just not relatable, right? Like, Ingrid's motivations were so terrible, and Zelina's motivations were so terrible. Regina's motivations were ridiculously petulant and dumb. Pan had good motivations because he was just, like, selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had someone who had legit anger and was frustrated. I don't think he was right, but you can understand why he was infuriated. Mm-hmm. Like, you always get your way. Fuck this. I'm done with that. So it was a nice conversation to have. I thought Snow's lesson of, like, yeah, but you ultimately became what you hate because you did the thing that all villains do. Which is true about Regina when she was a villain. Hook does it all the time. Rumpel definitely does it all the time.
The interesting thing about Isaac, too, is, like, I don't think that he cares, like, villain, hero, whatever. Like, he just wants it to be happy.
Yeah. I think he finds the whole concept pretentious, actually. Yeah. Which is funny.
That's fair. You know, he's... All right. I have six favorite moments in this situation.
I have four.
I also have four most ridiculous moments. So. I have
two ridiculous moments.
Okay.
Why don't you do two?
Okay. I loved the Walt Disney is the author hint. Like, what a brilliant idea. That's great. I love it. Second, maybe this is my ultimate favorite moment. I don't know. in the scene where Emma is talking to Evil Snow and Charming, and she's like, "You're my parents," and Hook is like holding a sword like an idiot, like not a way that one holds a sword, just in the background. He's like even kind of blurry because he's in the background, and he fucking stole that entire scene.
So what's funny is that that is basically their relationship in a microcosm. It's all the focus is on Emma, and Hook is in the background and blurry. But he's funny as shit.
Yeah.
And yes, he just is so uncomfortable. And it was actually great. And that they took him out of focus was fantastic.
I want to see Colin O'Donoghue in, like, a comedy. Like, I've never seen him in anything else. So maybe we should seek that out.
Tutors.
He is in the Tutors, very briefly.
Yeah. No, I think those were both two very good moments. I just talked about this. I love Isaac's speech to the Charming at the end. I thought it was a nice, actual, deep motivation, but still twisted. I thought that was a really good moment for all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like some of the like recurring lines or twisted lines. I really liked when Regina said, "The queen wants me dead. She thinks I ruined her life." And Henry says, "Did you?" And Regina says, "Yes," which is a callback to both Snowfalls and Snowdrifts.
Well, Snowdrifts is just Snowdrifts. Yeah. I really like, "Yes, my queen," or "Yes, so-and-so, I will always find you." Your Majesty.
I have just Dark Snow in general. I just like Dark Snow.
I put Sadist Snow.
Dark Snow is my favorite.
Jennifer Goodwin stole the scene.
So good. Like, she's so good.
Fantastic. I have two more.
Me too.
I really liked the speech from Emma to Regina.
Emma's speech.
I thought
it was really good.
I thought that hit the right notes. I thought that was using Emma exactly like she should be used. She is the straight man in a land of fantastical characters, is how she should be positioned. And I thought the moment that Zelina and Regina missed, they nailed. Like, they got it right 100%. And it was like it felt like a real conversation between real people, even though it's in like this ridiculous land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inside of a giant tree.
And so, yeah. Speaking of most ridiculous, if we go there, her house. Is it like a tree? Like, how does it expand in size?
I don't know. It's a big tree, I guess.
It's a huge tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry being the author. I thought that was great. I like the idea, well, except that he broke the pen. But maybe
temporary author.
Maybe this means that Henry has a big role to play in future seasons. He had a big role to play here. He saved the day.
I think we both know that's not true.
Yeah.
Hook and Henry.
Oh,
they were hilarious.
They were adorable.
Especially the Star Wars play. That was fantastic.
The Wookiee Prisoner game.
Yes, that was really... Honestly, Henry was also fantastic in this episode.
He was really good.
He was really good. Again, though, like, he's not the straight man because he is aware of these things.
Yeah. But
he's like... He was kind of the person who's like, oh, this is wrong. Oh, this... He's kind of basically the avatar for the audience.
Yeah. I obviously have Emma taking the darkness for Regina. It's like one of my favorite moments of the entire series.
Well, that's a good transition to my most ridiculous moment.
Okay.
Emma to becoming the Dark One.
I didn't say Emma becoming the Dark One. I said Emma taking the darkness for Regina.
It is literally the same
thing. It's not exactly the same thing. I'm not necessarily excited about Emma being the Dark
One.
I'm excited about the button, closing the button of at the beginning of the season, Emma trying to get Regina her happy ending and now ensuring that.
I'm saying the process of us getting there was what I hate. Like, it's ridiculous to have Emma Swan become the Dark One. After all the bullshit that we went through to prevent this, and then actually gave us a loophole sidestep. Oh, but actually, we're just going to come back to that anyway. Like, this was not fulfilling. And also, it seems stupid. Like, if you need to tell it to someone, we could have picked other choices.
Yeah, someone not powerful.
And maybe not the fucking savior of the call.
I have a small, ridiculous thing about Emma on my most ridiculous. When Emma and Hook are in Emma's bedroom that doesn't have a door, they're on Emma's bed. And Emma has flowery sheets. Emma has flowery sheets.
Why is that shocking?
That is not Emma. Yeah. Emma would not have flowery sheets. Snow. Yeah, they're just snow sheets.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Also, that's probably the first time we've seen them in bed together.
Yeah. We haven't. I think the only people we've ever seen in bed are, and maybe.
We've seen Belle and Rumple.
We've never seen them together in bed.
Yes, we have.
When?
When Rumple has that terrible dream, I think, where he kills Henry at the porcelain dowel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He snaps awake, and I think Belle is sleeping next to him.
Yeah. We get several scenes of Belle in bed when Rumple isn't in bed, but, yeah.
We get Regina in bed with people. She's in bed
with with Graham. Yeah. Okay. Not a lot though.
Not a lot.
Man, I wish this was a rated R TV show.
I mean, I think I'm good with the implication. Like once Robin says, like, as long as we don't leave, it counts, and they fall down. I know what happened. I'm good. I don't need to actually see it. Like, that's good enough for me. Anything else ridiculous?
Yeah. Where's Baby Neil? We already talked about this. But just, where's Baby Neil?
We talked about this.
Why is no one interested
in watching Baby Neil?
Yeah.
That's Rumpel's baby now.
I like your idea that we maybe infer that Isaac wrote everyone to have, like, a punishment, but I still am just, this book seems very boring, and I don't understand how it's a bestseller. Maybe that's the point. He just had to write himself as a bestseller because he's a bad author.
Because I actually really like the story.
And Henry bringing the pen. Not necessarily, like, I understand, I agree, like, it's too much power for one person, but you just told me it's the most important job, and it's very important, and somebody has to do it, and Henry breaks the pen, and, like, what the fuck's gonna happen now?
You perplex me on so many different levels.
Why?
Because sometimes you're a massive sap with, like, the Emma taking the darkness and closing the loop. But then, like, when they go for a similar moment with Henry, which is, hey, with great power comes great responsibility, and I know better and I don't want to abuse it, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, we're not even at the stage you're taking darkness. Like, it's the same shit.
I like the move for Henry.
Yeah.
I just don't like that we've, like, built up the author as being this super important person.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand what we're going to do with that now. The answer is nothing, but it just seemed like apprentice said it's the most important job.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it was a big deal too, because, like, Henry was struggling with feeling normal, and this was the first time in which he was basically going to be special.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned away from the darkness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a quite sweet moment, personally speaking.
Loser. I got two.
Yeah, I have two as well.
My first one is Isaac.
Duh.
He lost the power of the author. He just lost. He lost it all.
Good job. He just tried and he missed the mark.
And he also fucked up sending Henry to be killed by the ogre that he knew that the ogre slayer kills.
Fair. I liked that, but that's fair. Emma Swan. Easily a loss here. I know you have her as a winner.
I don't have her as a winner, but...
Probably for the season you will. But I don't think... two things. A, okay, now you're the dark one. That's not really good. Especially since, like, the savior is usually supposed to be the counter to that. And you can't really be the counter when you were also the dark one. And you failed the moment. What are you doing? What are we doing?
He's just so handsome. How could it be so hard to say I love you to that face?
Well, you sound like me.
She also does. She does love him.
That's worse.
She does love him, and he's so handsome, and she still can't say it.
Well, like, my problem why I say she lost, she doesn't learn from, like, she talked about with her parents. It was seeing you as real villains made me realize how ridiculous it was that I was holding a grudge against you, and I want you to know how much I appreciate you. Take that logic and fucking apply it to Hook.
Even if she could have, it would have been nice. It is very Emma to not be able to say it, even when she tries. It would have been more powerful if she had said it before she was in danger. Like, later,
yeah.
Granny, she comes back to him and she was like, I got scared and I meant to say this to you. I love you.
Or, like, what would have been smart is Hook to say, I know what you're going to say. You don't need to say it right now until you're ready. So, like, let him acknowledge that he knows,
yeah,
and then she can come to it later. So, like, even if we then do the thing later where she's like, no, I need to say it because I'm about to disappear.
Uh-huh.
We've at least gotten the acknowledgement, like, the character, because he looks defeated.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just like, and it's like, dude, we've seen him sacrifice the Jolly Roger for you to get to the curse. And he's done all this, like, the hard work. Like, he's in the background, swinging a sword as a coward. And you just failed the moment.
Yeah.
Failure.
My second one is Rumpel.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all.
He lost!
What did he lose?
He got a story. He was dying.
Yep.
And he asked the author to write him a story where he'd be the hero,
mm-hmm,
in which he was the same coward that he always is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the darkness leaves his body, and now he's, like, in a coma.
Are we implying the darkness leaving one's body is a bad thing?
Not necessarily, but is he gonna wake up?
I don't know, but I wouldn't, well, didn't die. Big deal.
Is he, like, I don't know if coma and dead are that different.
Really?
You don't perpetual think there's
a,
coma?
You don't think there's a difference between like Prince Charming being in a coma in season one and James being dead?
I mean, I guess that's different, but what if he doesn't wake up from the coma? Not different.
Okay, but then he's dead.
Okay.
But he isn't dead. Not dying. And we know his heart is pure now. Like, that's a good thing.
The story, is it pure or is it just nothing? Is it a blank slate?
I don't see a difference. What do you say?
Well, pure of heart in the story usually means hero.
Isn't pure of heart mean the absence of darkness? At least that's my interpretation of it. I assume okay. that lack of darkness means pure of heart, and therefore he's... Now, he has no, like, good either. You're right, it's a blank slate. But still, after, you know, 500 years of darkness, still a win. Not dead, in my opinion. Big deal. And, yeah, you're right. His story gets defeated in the end. But as you just said, his story wasn't good. So, like, that he didn't lose anything of value. Like, it was a fake story that you don't really buy that he would have been enjoying with. He's still a coward. He's still got a secret. He's still lying to Belle.
All of those things sound like loser to me.
You're right. But none of those things stuck. What he lost were bad things. Now he's just right back to where he was before. Like, I don't think he's a winner. I just don't think he lost anything. I think he's not dead. The only thing that changed in his status from 4B beginning to now is no longer dying.
All right.
That's better than you were before.
Who's your second winner? Or loser, sir?
I already said it. Isaac and Emma.
Oh, Isaac and Emma. Okay. You had Isaac as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ultimate loser of this episode is clearly Isaac. He lost everything. And he was happy. He was the only one I think who was happy.
Winner, I have two.
Yeah, I also have two. I think we have the same two.
Really?
Well, you might have Emma.
No, I don't have Emma.
Then I think we have the same two.
I have Hook.
Okay, never mind. Hook?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you gotta explain that.
Even
Hook or Hook?
Cook.
Okay.
Even in a story...
Where he dies.
Yeah. Even in a story where he is written as a coward, he makes a heroic move to save the woman he loves.
Sure.
And I guess if we're going by traditional logic, not dead. He died, but now he's not actually
dead. Hook are different.
I know, but he's not dead.
I hear you. Well, Cook is dead, but Hook is alive. Yeah, I don't know if I can separate those two.
Like, he overcame...
Yeah.
He overcame the cowardice that was written for him to be.
Yeah. I fundamentally agree with all of those things, and had we stopped at the end of Heroes and Villains, I'm right there with you in a victory.
He does also ultimately get to hear I Love You, but as his girlfriend is turning into the Dark One.
I also
the thing that he hates.
Having your heart broken, kinda, when the woman that you have been pining for years at this point, can't even pull the trigger to say I love you yet, it's a loss.
I don't know that it was a heartbreak, though. I didn't see the
look. He looked disappointed.
I didn't see that. Because I think that he knew.
You said it. You literally said he looked so excited in anticipation, and then he looked.
He looked so excited. I did not say that he looked sad after. I don't remember seeing that. Maybe it happened.
It does.
But I think that he knew that she wasn't, like, he's used to her not being able to say it.
He is used to it, but that's what gets him so excited. It's like if I was like, we're going to go to Disneyland, we're going to go to Disneyland. You're like, sweet. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to the dentist. That kind of sucks.
That's evil.
That's a Simpsons reference, actually.
Who do you got?
Regina.
Hmm, that's a good one. I don't have Regina.
I'm stunned. This is the thing that you gave her credit for, and too, she actually does here. She makes the sacrifice to save the day.
No, I think that's a good one. I will add that.
For a person that, like, it's one thing to save Henry when you love him and know him as a son. She did this for basically a complete stranger because it was the fundamental right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And was the savior, strangely enough.
Yeah, she was the savior. So, I think that's fair. That's a good one.
You know what's interesting about that? He wrote, and he tells Henry, I didn't have room for a savior in my story. But there was a savior in your story. Was he not in complete control of writing his own story?
Well, there wasn't a savior in his story. The only reason, because Henry says we made one.
We created a savior.
Because the savior wouldn't have occurred if Henry hadn't been there.
No.
Because and Isaac didn't write that.
Yeah, that was just a modification.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I think Regina 100% earned the win in this one. And also doesn't get absorbed by the darkness.
That's a good one.
Feels like another win.
Me, I wrote it down.
Okay.
My second one is Henry.
Yeah. he's the ultimate.
I think that's why I didn't think of Regina, because sure. like he, while she saves him, and that is a very heroic act, he's the one that like saves everyone. Like it, and it happens like immediately after that.
Yeah.
He like, and he figures out like he can use Regina's blood because she saved him, so she's the savior. Like he did it, and then I mean, despite the fact that I'm angry that they can't decide how important the author is, I think you're right that breaking the pen is a heroic act.
I wouldn't have made that move. Like, I'll be honest with you. There's no fucking way I'm breaking that pen. Nah, it's not going to happen. But I do think that's a... For a show that has talked about like how easy it is to fall into the darkness, he really doesn't seem tempted by it.
It's very Harry Potter breaks the Elder Wand.
What?
At the end, in season... In the seventh...
After he beats He Shall Not Be Named?
Yeah.
Huh.
Except in the movie, they make it... They forget to do a thing that's really important first. He fixes his wand, his actual wand, uh-huh. with the Elder Wand, and then he breaks the Elder Wand.
Yeah, I guess it is playing off of that, then. Mm-hmm. You all right?
I know how to drink water, everyone.
Well, at least really you didn't spit out water everywhere like I did that one episode thing, sweet.
Okay.
That was a lot.
That was a lot.
We're 1:40 in.
I cried 2 times.
Ooh, let me see if I can guess.
I already told
you. One of them you told me one was, wait, I think I already forgot it. Was it when Cook dies?
No. It was Emma's speech to Regina.
Oh, it was Emma's speech to Regina. I was thinking about that.
Cook dying.
About Cook dying. About how, like, she never got the chance. How she was going to learn from that experience, and if she ever got the chance to see him again, she can say how she felt. Second one, when Emma sacrifices herself for that.
Okay. Well, please be sure to join us next time. We're going to do a recap of season 4B. And then after that, we will dive into season 5.
We will see you next time for the recap.